Welcome to Friday at the Grace Hour, a daily program that takes us and want to dive into believers' daily challenges and helps us to grow in a practical way in our faith. My name is Pastor Rinaldo, and I'm in studio with Pastor Shabelli. And this week, we've been talking about demons and warfare and witchcraft. Today, we'll be talking a lot about witchcraft today. An interesting topic in the church. If you'd like to join us, you can reach out to us. You can call us at 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700. You can also email your questions at questions@gracehour.org. Or you can reach us on Apple or Spotify or Google or Amazon Music or any of the podcasts we're out there. We're also on YouTube, Facebook, and gracehour.org as well. So we'd love to hear from you. Call us on the program. We'd love to hear about your thoughts about this topic. Many Christians have a great fear of talking about the devil and talking about witchcraft and talking about warfare. And there is a huge push right now in Christianity towards acceptance toward Wicca, which is kind of like witchcraft light, basically. They don't like using the name Satan or using any kind of powerful witchcraft, but they do love manipulation of nature. They want to present you good and bad witchcraft, all those questions. And maybe you're a Christian, you have questions about that. Is there bad witchcraft? Is there good witchcraft? What is Wicca? Can Wicca be considered witchcraft? Can I be a Christian and practice Wicca? These are great questions. We'd love to hear from you again at 1-800-338-7060 and 410-483-3700. Please call them. We'd love to hear from you. Pastor Belli, you want to begin the program?
Ephesians chapter 6, which read 10
sure.
through 19.
Sure. Starting with Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Interesting verse. Wherefore, take on you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may be able to open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel.
Now read 2 Corinthians 2:11. I got you moving in the Bible today.
2 Corinthians 2:11. Okay, hopefully
the Bible deals with
you brought your Bible to Grace Hour. 2 Corinthians chapter 2.
Verse 11.
All right, here we go. Paul is talking and he says, 2 verse 11, he says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices.
Okay, there's two words there that we want to think about. It's wiles and devices.
Mm-hmm.
Wiles and devices. And if you put the two Greek words together, they are Satan's thought out personal procedures against his enemy, which is number one, Jesus Christ, number two, his body, the church, and number three, the gospel. So Satan has three enemies. We often talk mm-hmm. about the enemies of God, and it's absolutely true. But the Satan and the demons are going after the person of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there's so much controversy about who Jesus Christ is mm-hmm. throughout these religions around the world. And he's coming after the church, and not just the external, organized, operational, functioning system that we see going on, but after the body of Christ, the church, the called out ones. And he's coming after the gospel, the message of the gospel, because he does not want people to get saved, obviously. So in order for us to be able to handle this correctly, so mm-hmm. often people are so capable in their own human reasoning and their own human ability,
sure.
but they don't realize they've got to put on
okay.
the whole armor of God. And that word put on, we can kind of like connect that with the word faith,
mm-hmm.
put on. It keeps telling us to take the armor of grace.
Yes.
So take his grace and put on his faith.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the six parts that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. This is so important. Number one, truth.
Yep.
Truth is always connected to grace. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, John 1, 16, 17, and 18. No man has seen God. So truth is always in the nature and character of God, which is God's grace. It's his fullness and his glory. Number two, the breastplate of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, righteousness is a gift of grace. Just read Romans chapter 5, and you can see that from verses 15 to 21. Righteousness is not something that I have within myself, self-righteousness or the world's righteousness, but righteousness is a gift of God's grace because the Spirit is righteous. Number three, we have the gospel. We have gospel feet. What is it? It's the gospel of grace. So now we have truth in grace.
Mm-hmm.
We have breastplate of righteousness because of grace, gospel of grace. Then we have a shield of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And faith is so key in Romans 5:2. By faith, we have access into this grace wherein we stand. So now we have a shield of faith that is totally connected to the word grace. Mm-hmm. Then number five, we have a helmet of salvation. You're saved by what? Mm-hmm. You're saved by grace. Number six, you have the sword of the Spirit, and he's called the Spirit of Grace in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. And then number seven, we have prayer, and prayer is to the throne of grace, to the throne of grace. So you see, the armor of God, that's why it says take the armor of God. These are all grace parts, mm-hmm. grace parts of the armor. And it says take the whole armor of God.
Right.
And if you pull one of these things out, you have left a place for the devil. John chapter 8, 31 through 34, it talks about giving a place to Jesus Christ and his word.
Mm-hmm.
In Ephesians 4, 27, it says, give no place, no atopos, don't give a place to the devil. So if I neglect the word, truth, I neglect having a gospel in my life and proclaiming it, I neglect a shield of faith, I neglect any one of these parts of the armor, then I give a place for the enemy to come in. If I neglect faith, he comes in with unbelief. If I neglect the gospel, he's got me concentrating on all the news that's out there that's not good. If I neglect truth, I live in a lie. If I neglect the righteousness based upon a gift of God, then I become self-righteous or religiously righteous. If I neglect the helmet of salvation, then I'm saved by my own works, my own ability. If I neglect the sword of the Spirit, I am a person with no weapons in my hand at all.
Mm.
If I neglect prayer to the throne of grace, then what am I doing? Who's answering my prayers?
Mm-hmm.
Do I even think that prayer is important? So it says it's important to take the whole armor of God,
mm-hmm.
the whole armor of God. It tells us what we wrestle against. We said about 2 Corinthians 2:11 and Ephesians 4:27,
yes,
6:10 and 11, wiles and devices, but we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is the problem with each and every one of us in our Christian lives at times, and even with Christianity as a whole, it doesn't realize who the enemy is.
Yes.
It doesn't, and it's not that you want to be studying about the enemy all the time. Of course, you can study the Bible about the enemy, but some people, they talk so much about the devil, they mm-hmm. give no place to God.
Yes.
You know, but there's got to be a spiritual balance where I understand that I'm in a war
mm-hmm.
and that there's a fight. Paul said it.
Yes.
2 Timothy 4:7, his last words, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. 1 Timothy 6:12, mm-hmm. fight a good fight.
Yes.
He was talking about fighting all the time. I think Christians are pacifists.
Mm-hmm.
Pacifist Christians. You always have pacifists around.
When yes.
I was growing up in the 70s, they were pacifists. They didn't want to go have anything to do with any kind of war at all. But you have worse than that, worse than a physical pacifist when it comes to a war in their country or against another aggressive country, we have spiritual pacifists
yes.
who actually do nothing. And they think they're doing nothing, but they're doing more harm to Christianity than they can even imagine because they are not an example. They have no armor on. And if you don't have any armor on, then you take upon yourself your own so-called armor and you try to fight a fight against a spiritual enemy, which you can never win. You can't win that fight by operating with just human armor, human ability, human reason. So he says, simply take it.
Yeah.
All you got to do is take it. You take it by grace, and that's the key.
Yeah.
So as we think about this this devotional, this topic today, it's so important to recognize what kind of armor we have. And it's the whole armor of God. He's telling the church of Ephesus, and the church of Ephesus had lots of warfare. They had, by the way, they had the best leaders in Christianity. Mm-hmm. They had Paul the Apostle, John the Apostle. They had Timothy. They had Tychicus. They had Trophimus. And can I tell you something? In Revelation 2, verses 1 through 7, they didn't make it.
Yeah.
They didn't make it. So thank God for great leaders, and they are important in a church. But if the pastor puts the armor on and the body doesn't, the church doesn't put the armor on, that church can't do anything. That church cannot make it. That church is Laodicean. That church is lukewarm. That church is off with God. I wouldn't even say that you should call it a church. Just call it an organization that meets one or two times a week to collect money. That's about it.
Well, and you notice Paul makes this warning to the church in Ephesus because of two things. Number one, he doesn't know that he doesn't believe that they're aware of it. Like you said, you see flesh and blood and there's something greater. And then number two, Ephesus was this hotbed for sorcery. There was big time witchcraft. And this is not a new thing. I think sometimes the church is shocked that, there's witchcraft. This has been around since the time of Paul. Sorcery was huge there. And even, and like you said, many pacifist Christians now, it's shocking. I was at University of Richmond evangelizing last year. I went into the University of Richmond's Student Union bookstore. Immediately, as soon as you walk in the front door, there was a table that was advertising witchcraft and homosexuality. That was the first table within 10 feet of entering the exit. There was a Monopoly board for sale. There were more Ouija boards for sale in the union than there were Bibles.
Educated people, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, you would definitely find that connection with witchcraft and homosexuality. Oh, there's a direct connection.
I'm gonna get there. We're going to get there because when it talks about, when people talk about demon activity in the world, and the Bible mentions several specific, sometimes demons are described as spirits. There's several specific demons that promote certain behaviors, like seducing spirits, lying spirits, dumb and deaf spirits, unclean spirits.
Strongholds. You see certain strongholds in certain countries, and you can see them, and you can see certain strongholds in certain areas of certain countries. Mm-hmm. And you know this is way more than flesh and blood. And the most interesting thing about it is that in understanding warfare, you know, some people are very good. Like, okay, I've been in many parts of Africa,
okay,
and I have seen visible manifestations of witchcraft.
For instance,
I was preaching one time, and a woman came and attacked the pulpit, but she was not walking on the ground. She was walking in the air.
What?
Okay, I've seen some people, I've seen a situation where there was a man standing in front of me, and it was no longer a man. It was something else.
Wow.
Okay, now, okay, we understand that that's witchcraft. Most people would say, oh, yeah, that's definitely of the devil. But you know what? The witchcraft in our system, in the technologically advanced system of the Western world, is far more dangerous. Why? Because it hides in the system.
Okay.
It hides in the school system. It says that there was no creation by God.
Mm-hmm.
It says creation was by the Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
It hides in the system.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And that's far more dangerous. When it's a visible manifestation, you know that's the enemy. We can even see that with people that have drug problems. Okay?
Right.
We can say there's a visible manifestation
right.
of an addict, per se.
Sure.
Or I worked in a prison for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You see people that committed unbelievable crimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whatnot. But the most dangerous thing is a system that the enemy has got himself into through subtlety and through just being very coercive and being very much knowledgeable about things. And he works his way into the system. And many, even born-again Christians, do not recognize it. They don't see it.
Hmm.
They look to things that they think are the solution for their life. You know, it could be, and I'm not saying if you need something pharmaceutical and a doctor prescribes it, that's your business. But there's many people that use all kinds of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And they use it because of this, that, anxiety, fear, all these things that are going on in their life. And they don't see that they're walking on dangerous territory.
That's an interesting thought. And today we're talking about witchcraft and warfare. That's the title of our program, Witchcraft and Warfare. We'd love to hear about from you about maybe your interaction as a believer with that. I'd love to hear that. You can call us at 410-483-3700 locally or 1-800-338-7060. We'd love to hear from you. Or you can email us with questions at YouTube or Facebook. Some of our comments have already come in a little bit. I just want to say, you mentioned earlier, and I'm going to bring this out a little bit, about demonic habitations. You mentioned cities. And I kind of think like there's levels of demonic influence. Sure. There's national, right?
Yep.
Daniel 10, national, Ezekiel 28, national. Then you get to cities.
Yeah.
You get that a little bit in Acts with Paul. I think Elymas the sorcerer and his relationship with the leadership. Revelation 2, city of Pergamos. You get to cities. And then you get to people. And that's the one where most Christians shriek and shudder. Because they talk about demonic possession, demonic influence, and really what is witchcraft but demonic influence?
Even certain sections of a city
could
have certain problems, like the drug addictions and all the drug problems are here in this area. All of the intellectual, knowledgeable people without God are in these places.
That's
so you can even get like certain regions of a city or a state. And I've seen certain states, you know, it's interesting to me, I've lived in three of the most liberal states in the nation.
Okay.
I didn't live in Maine, but Maine, where the ministry's been, Maine, Massachusetts, and Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't understand that some of these liberal policies are so much really in the kingdom of darkness. Hmm. And they don't see that. So there's areas, there can be sections. I remember certain sections of the city that I grew up in, there were certain sections that had nothing but tremendous crime in it, unbelievable crime, and the murder rate and whatnot. Then there were certain sections that was all gambling. Then there were certain sections, you know, all kinds of things were going on that were contrary. It was intellectual sections per se, you know, where people were so intelligent that they didn't need God. So I think we're dealing with a demonic hierarchy.
Okay.
There's the devil. Mm-hmm. I also believe there's country demons.
Okay.
There can be a regional demon like over Europe.
Sure.
And there could be one for every particular country.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really broken down systematically. Remember what he said in Ephesians 6? Principalities, right?
Mm-hmm.
Powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. He gave you four different aspects, and that's a hierarchy of warfare. And by the way, I don't want you to sit back today and be concentrating on warfare and get frightened over it, get over concerned about it, get hyper spiritual about it. But just to recognize, as Paul did, as he did, and as Peter also did, and as the apostles did. I mean, imagine this in Acts 16. Here's witchcraft. This is what is being said to Paul, the testimony given. These are the sons of the Most High God. They show unto you the way of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a woman said.
Yes.
Paul said, "Come out of her." Wait a minute. He didn't say Paul has done this in his life. He's a murderer. Paul is does this and does that.
Interesting.
He didn't bring those kind of accusations. He just said these are the sons of the Most High God. Paul recognized it because I believe when she used the word sons of the Most High God, he connected it with Isaiah 14.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I will be like the Most High.
Yes.
So he recognized it, and it was like, it almost sounded like it wasn't a bad testimony.
Yeah,
they show unto you the way of salvation.
This goes back to your thought about passivity. And I think the word there is discernment. And I think in a program like today's program, you could have fear, but the whole balance is I want to have an understanding but not be obsessed. But I should have an understanding. I should not, what Paul say 8 times in epistle, I would not have you ignorant. I would not have you ignorant.
Yes, and that's important. And really understanding that I have to have Bible doctrine in my life.
Yes.
I've got to know who God is,
mm-hmm.
what God has done. I have to understand that, and I've got to study the Word of God. By the way, Satan only flees twice in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Number one in Matthew 4:11. By the way, if the Son of God answered the enemy with the Bible,
mm-hmm.
well, when you have a Bible-less Christianity,
there's
no answer.
Yep.
So Jesus used the Scriptures. And then it says in James chapter 4, in verse 8, it says, you submit to the God of all grace, 6 and 7, and the devil will, that's how you'll resist the devil, and he will flee. So submit it to the word, and submit it to grace, Satan flees. And because grace, the word and grace are God's glory, he can't be around God's glory.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have ministries out there or Christians out there that are not word of God filled and do not have an understanding of the grace of God and the nature of God, then the enemy has a field day having fun with them, mm-hmm. getting them even to do things that really you can't even imagine.
And that's place. You're going where I want to be, which is there are Christians that are entertaining the fringes of witchcraft.
Yes.
Because of what you said, there's a lack of doctrine. And let me define that for our listeners what this word witchcraft. It is the practice of magic, usually for an evil purpose. They would argue and say there's some good magic that uses spells to connect to the power of demons. Now, in Africa, in the third world, I'll be specific, in the third world, Pastor Billy said it best, it's very, very demonstrative. It's very, very graphic. It's in your face. It's obvious it's supernatural. But over here in the first world, it tends to be more sophisticated, intellectual, where this Wicca comes from that talks about, well, we don't really use the word Satan. We don't really talk about spells that hurt people, but we do manipulate nature, and we do have this supernatural relationship. And what you're looking for is an answer to life's problems outside of a relationship with God. And the witchcraft movement is growing in this country, and that's what Wicca is. It's growing in this country, and believers are entertaining it.
And interestingly enough, I think Timothy talks about becoming captive of the enemy's will.
Yes,
that's take interesting.
Captive of the will. Yeah.
Captured.
Let's
I think
read
it's,
that actually.
It's 2 Timothy chapter 2, mm-hmm. and they have become captive at his will. Can you imagine that? You mean a believer could become captive, controlled by the will of the enemy? Yes, because he will use the world system mm-hmm. where you can't see him. He hides. But remember this, 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's the god of this world. Mm-hmm. He's the god of this what? This world. The world is the word cosmos, that which is alien from and in opposition to the life of God. He's the god of that which is alien from and in opposition to God's life. So anything that is alien from God's life and opposed to God's life is not from God. It's from the devil himself, the enemy himself. But we're so sophisticated. We're so educationally advanced. We're so intellectual. We're so technologically on top of it that we don't even want to think, oh, come on, you really believe in the devil? You'll hear even believers say that. You know?
We talked about this early on Monday. 67%, a Barna survey of 3,000 Christians in America, evangelical Christians, 67% believe that Satan is only the symbol for evil and not an individual of evil.
Well, you know what I call those people? Stupid Christians. I'm sorry. They have. What does it mean to be stupid? You have no knowledge of the Bible.
Yeah,
You have no and by the way, you are already entrapped by the enemy. You see?
Yeah.
They say that, it's just a symbol, right, of evil, and he's got them already. Yeah, he's got them already.
It was interesting, this idea of witchcraft. You have witches, which are usually women, and warlocks. And the interesting word about the word warlock, it means one who has left the faith. That's the original origin of that word warlock. One who has broken the faith. That's what a warlock is. So these warlock and these witches, they have relationships with demons, basically, to perform where they believe they're in control and they're directing demons, when actually vice versa, Pastor Billy. Actually, demons are manipulating them.
Sure. There can be a church. By the way, if a church has doctrines that are anti-Bible,
okay,
then they've been manipulated.
Wow.
They've been manipulated and coerced. I really believe that this can happen. You can go into a place mm-hmm. and you think that a miracle happened, but all it was the enemy removing demons from a person. Mm-hmm. He can put them on a person or a church, and he can remove them also. And all of a sudden, they think they have a great peace all of a sudden, and they think they got healed.
Yes.
No, the enemy just removed.
Wow.
He just removed the power for a bit of time to make the person think. Because what he really wants to do is not just get a person that is having a problem in this area, but he wants to make them students of how he thinks.
Mm.
And this is interesting. So now you have systems that are in this world that are so much of the evil enemy. Their system, and they're set in place. And it's, by the way, Jesus defined it very much in his last prayer.
Mm-hmm.
He used the word cosmos or world 17 times.
Mm.
He was saying, you better watch out for the world. You better watch out for the world.
Have you ever been in a place where you've sensed the influence of witchcraft in a geographical location?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding me?
Mm.
Not only sensed it, saw it.
Like I remember the same city, Richmond. I was with Jesse Fires, and we were in, of all places, a Panera Bread. And there was a guy dressed as a woman at the register. There was a guy and another guy kissing in the lobby. And the spirit of the place, evil. As we started, I looked at him. I said, I need to leave. I need to leave right now. He didn't even finish the door. We need to leave right now. We cannot be here anymore. The evil, it was interesting. It was like a heavy coat.
Yeah. Yeah.
The evil was so thick. And in my mind, I said, witches and witchcraft is here. Not just evil, but there are people here that are engaged in evil as a practice, and then they're involved in, on some level, maybe spells. But it's amazing how the presence can be felt when someone's into evil.
I went into a house one time, and the grandfather was a drug addict. The father was a drug addict. The son was a drug addict, and the grandson was a drug addict. Mm. In other words, like the enemy found a home.
Yeah.
He found a home, and he knows he can initiate towards certain genetical problems.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's kind of like he's watched us in mm-hmm. our life before we got saved.
Sure.
So he has a beat on human nature.
Mm.
And he knows if a person has a drinking problem, mm-hmm. they have a lust problem of some type sexually, they have a problem with maybe stealing,
mm-hmm.
they have a problem with manipulation and control. He knows how to initiate. Don't be afraid of this. You shouldn't be afraid. You should be knowledgeable of it.
Mm-hmm.
But he
mm-hmm.
knows how to initiate. By the way, the devil did not go after Thomas, not right away.
Mm-hmm.
What was his first target? Simon, Simon.
Yes.
Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And I pray for you. Why is he going after Peter? Because mm-hmm. he's the leader.
Mm.
And by the way, if the enemy goes after leadership in Christianity, and leadership doesn't have doctrine and knowledge and truth in their soul,
mm-hmm.
then they get sifted away from that. And before you know it, those who are following them are no different than they are.
Wow.
I've seen this happen. I've seen people who were totally like, I remember a man coming to me one time, and he had a church of like 700 people. And he said to me, I am so off in this area when it comes to money. I preach that if you don't have money, you're not spiritual. I said, oh, Jesus couldn't even pay the temple tax. He had to get a coin from a fish's mouth, you know.
Mm.
I actually preached that at his church, you know.
Wow.
And he said to me, you're 100% right. And he says, my lust patterns and how I think about Christianity is what I preached, and it's what has this church has become. And the church has become one that's only desirous of wow. materialistic things. So you see, this is very dangerous.
Let's take a phone call. We've got John in Hudson. John, are you there? You're on the Grace Hour?
Yes. Many years ago, I was backslidden in an area, and I'd been backslidden for quite a while. And I heard a message on Grace Hour about fasting.
Okay.
So I fasted for two meals, took authority over the enemy, told him that he had no right to touch me because he's bound for hell.
Yeah.
And I'm bound for heaven.
Mm.
And so I fasted for two meals, took authority over the enemy all day, said, Lord, I give you a week to deliver me from this sin.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
delivered. I've never gone back to it.
Yeah, I think fasting is
some demonic activity. Important. You have to fast in order to take authority over it.
Well, I would say this also. You're a man of the word.
Yeah,
I know you. So if it's only fasting, people like Dick Gregory fasted for like they could do it for months. You know, nothing changed. Okay.
Yeah.
So fasting and prayer and the word of God
mm-hmm.
are important because it's very key. Because I know you're a man of the word and you pray. And so the fasting was something that was connected to those things. So if you only fasted and never had God's thinking patterns, God's mind to make the right decisions,
mm-hmm.
and you couldn't, and you didn't pray to God to help you, then it would all be based on your fasting that you got deliverance. But your
Amen.
Fasting is getting is deliverance from God through his word, through prayer, and the fasting.
Amen.
That day, the doctrine book, Just Like I Love You, arrived.
Yep. You know, doesn't God always give you what you need, John? You know?
Amen.
There is a provision for God. There is a balm in Gilead. There is a way to minister. Thank you so much, John. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
We'd love to hear from more of you about that. 1-800-338-7060 and also 410-483-3700. I would like to ask you this question, Pastor Belli. But let's take some of our comments online first. Brian Odell asked us, what is your opinion on where the Bible says he deceives the whole world, and do you think that God will start revealing these deceptions in the end days, which I believe we are there?
I think God started revealing the deceptions of the enemy right from Genesis 3.
Yes.
Okay? The intensification of it, you're absolutely right about that. It says the night is far spent, Romans 13. Far spent means that wickedness and darkness in the night has advanced.
Yes.
Okay, advancing, and it gets more sophisticated. So I really believe it's important for us just to be simply students of the Word of God, be in a local church that preaches and teaches the Word of God, and really just have knowledge of who God is, mm-hmm. and what God has done and is doing, and how the Spirit is moving in a very good church that is not only a church of God's Word, a church that is a grace church, a church that loves fellowship and body life, a church that has a gospel message to the lost. And therefore, I think without a doubt, God will give you everything you need to fight the spiritual warfare.
Amen. Ted Green writes in and says, demonic warfare influence was heavy in a store I had once worked in. There were questionable magazines and employees with a heavy negative attitude and heavy lottery purchasers. The assistant manager turned out to be a witch, and her entourage would visit this popular store in Parkville, Maryland. Thank God I had been taking a class which included spiritual warfare with Pastor Vieter. He prayed over the store. Things got better. I ended up finally quitting, but the experience, I learned a lot. You know, it's like the influence of witchcraft and demons is powerful. And I think we said there's many ways that demons make manifest their expression of Satan's plan against man and against God. We said cities, we said nations, but also people are used not just for possession, but people are convinced that being involved in witchcraft for their benefit helps them, when actually they're being used as instruments and tools of the devil.
And what happens, and think about this, when people, which many people do today, engage in alcohol mm-hmm. and drugs and even prescription drugs, they lower the defenses of their mind.
Interesting.
And then here comes the enemy. Mm-hmm. See, the defense patterns are lowered, even for a believer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Of course, for an unbeliever, they don't have any defense mechanisms.
Right.
But for even for a believer, when they start engaging in these kind of things, before you know it, the enemy can come in like a flood.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit of the Lord can raise up a standard. But are these people in a good Bible-believing church? Do they read their Bible? Do they trust God? And this is so key. Because remember, he's coming. He's subtle.
Mm-hmm.
He's subtle. He's there. He's got Elymas the sorcerer
mm-hmm.
there. But he's also got Demas, who used to be a missionary.
Mm.
Okay, Demas has forsaken me. He loved the what? The world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The world. So he's coming both ways. He's coming outwardly, and then he's coming on the inside. He's coming on the outside. He's coming on the inside. Because he knows what works. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So even churches and Christians have to be so careful mm-hmm. what they entertain. And I believe, like, I remember there was a certain particular place that was known for its evil,
mm-hmm.
whether it was a place where people that used drugs inhabited or frequented. It was also selling alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
There was all kinds of gambling and things going on. We prayed, and all of a sudden, they decided that they were putting a road through that area, and they demolished the whole place.
Hmm.
See, we prayed, and God answered the prayer by getting rid of it. Of course, people sometimes will just find another place to go do what they want to do. You know?
Sure.
So really, it's individuals who have a volitional, who make volitional choices to just give a place mm-hmm. to the enemy.
Let me ask you this question. There is a lot of young people now, I would even say under 40s, who are being introduced to witchcraft. It's in the media. It's in the movies, mm-hmm. the newspaper. It's in the social life, but it's being done in a very subliminal way. It's more along the like this whole Wicca idea is like getting close to nature, casting spells. It's being interesting. Let's say I'm a young person and I'm actually entertaining this. How do I get deliverance from the power of witchcraft?
Bible.
Okay.
Read your Bible. Go to a Bible-believing church.
Okay.
I mean, really, is there any other way than how Jesus described it? He used the scriptures mm-hmm. against the prince of darkness,
okay.
against the devil himself, not just demons,
mm-hmm.
but the devil. He used the word of God. So there has to become a place in their life. Something takes place where they become a receiver of God's word
mm-hmm.
through personal study of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And in a church that preaches and teaches the Bible, and begin to develop Christian friends who who have God's thought patterns and God's mind. Mm-hmm. But if you're hanging around people that are doing these things, you're just like, you're saying, yes, you, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. Yes, you do, because you're with them.
Wow.
I remember there was many times I wanted to stop. I used narcotics from the time I was 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that's 1940s, 1952, up until I was, when I got saved, and that was in 1976. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about 14 years mm-hmm. of every single day. And when I got saved, I thought that it was okay to be with these same people
okay.
that I hung out with, you know, my whole life, friends, relatives. And I realized that I could see myself losing spiritual power just being around them.
Interesting.
The convictions weren't there
mm-hmm.
as much. And I could easily find myself being coerced back into mm-hmm. something. And I recognized, I remember my talk with this about this with my brother. We both had to just remove ourselves. We had no place to go till we met the church.
Wow.
And at that particular point, I met Pastor Tom Stewart, mm-hmm. and the church was about 10 people, you know. And it was that's where, like, not only were you delivered physically, but you need to be delivered mentally.
Hmm.
Mental deliverance. Some people, by the way, get delivered physically. You can put a guy in a straitjacket for a month, and I've been involved with these kind of things in prisons, and you can bring deliverance. They're in a straitjacket, they're not going to get high. But you haven't delivered them mentally. And so as soon as you take that straitjacket off, guess where they're going?
Yep.
Down to the corner to get high again, you know?
Well,
so that's the key.
That power of witchcraft, when young people get into it, even older people, when they get into it, that life, like you said, getting around the coven, getting around other witches, getting around that whole lifestyle, having all the different things, it's seductive.
Sure.
Because you get used to that lifestyle. You get used to those friends, the illusion of demonic power, supernatural power, Ouija boards, meetings,
no,
prayer.
And it's not, and that should be, to most people, especially Christians, should be very evident that that's not from God. No. I'm concerned with some of these things that people do that have nothing to do with God, but they become overwhelmed by it. They become addicted to it. They develop patterns.
Sure.
It can be lottery patterns. It's legal to do it.
Yeah.
It can be, by the way, somebody can become a sports addict. All they do is they spend every moment of their life watching ESPN or watching football or basketball or baseball. Nothing wrong with doing things that entertainment. I'm not saying that. But how about like 10 hours a day, 6 hours a day? So you see, they become addicts to certain things.
Well, social media, I mean.
Addicts to social media.
There is no greater addiction in our society than social media. I mean, the largest portion of our population, from the oldest to the youngest, are 6 to 8 hours a day.
I feel very free. I don't have a phone, and I don't have an iPad, and I don't even know how to use a computer. I feel very good about that. I'm not saying that you should follow that.
Well,
that's just me.
And say you're isolated.
Yeah, yeah. No. I'm not isolated. I'm one with God.
Yes.
Hopefully, so I'm not isolated from God.
Nope.
I'm not isolated from the church.
We love
and I'm
you.
Not isolated from the Great Commission.
Yes.
Okay. So, what am I isolated from?
Oh,
thank you. I'm isolated from the world.
There it is.
Which is alien from and in opposition to God.
There it is.
And we can never do that. We're always going to be out there, you know.
Yeah.
And whatnot. But I think being isolated unto God is amazing. It doesn't mean that we can't go out and play basketball, that we can't watch sports, that we, you know. But I'm talking about patterns that become addicting and controlling, that I can't live without the Sunday football game.
Yep.
You know, I can't live. I've got to watch football from 12 o'clock to 10 o'clock at night. You know, be careful.
Let's take this call. Susan, you're on the Grace Hour. Good afternoon.
Hello?
Hi, Susan. You're on the Grace Hour.
Oh, hi. Pastor Shabelli, Pastor Ronaldo.
Hello.
Thanks for taking my call. Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
This is a great subject, and I have probably a comment and question, and I'll leave the rest up to you. When I was about 19 years old, I was visiting a couple of my aunts, and they were at another aunt's house, and my parents were there. And I had a wicked, wicked, wicked migraine headache. So we're sitting around the dining room table, and one of my aunts said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Oh, I just have this wicked migraine." And she looked at me and said, "Well, that's because you're cursed. It's a curse."
Huh.
And now I wasn't saved, and my parents weren't saved at the time. And so we like kind of looked at her and my other two aunts, and I said, excuse me? And she said, well, she said, it's a curse. And she said, you know, and then she explained that they were had dabbled and were into like a white witchcraft. Mm-hmm. And I looked at her and I said, oh, I don't, you know, I just kind of like, I don't buy that. And then they said something about oil and water and a prayer that could only be prayed and told to someone else at Christmas Eve. And only one of my other aunts who lived out of state could tell anybody that prayer.
Yes.
And if it were prayed any other time, then the person that said it would be cursed. So I was kind of like, I thought it was stupid because I didn't know anything about stuff like that. Then I got saved. And I, you know, Pastor used to talk about generational curses.
Yes.
And I thought, oh boy, I said, this explains a lot. And because in within our family, on that side of my family, I believe there's a thread through in the fabric mm-hmm. of our family of fear, tremendous fear, fear of this, fear of that, fear of whatever. And so I just don't know how long these curses or whatever it is, this thread, can go through how many generations, how many people can it affect, and how do we, as
well,
Christians, how do you pray for them? How do you pray for, even for me, you know, because I would sense different things too and not understand where it was coming from. And now I know where it was coming from.
Joseph received from God. Like, here's something. Well, the old sin nature is cursed anyway. You know what I'm saying? The old sin nature. We have an old sin nature, and it's not one with God, and it's opposed mm-hmm. to God. So Abraham was a liar. Isaac was a liar. Jacob was a liar, and the sons of Joseph were liars. You can see this mm-hmm. lying spirit was mm-hmm. went from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph's mm-hmm. sons. Okay,
mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
it's very interesting how that can take place, and there can be certain habits and genetical trends in people's lives and wherever it may be, a mm-hmm. gambler, a gambler, a gambler, a gambler, a gambler, all the way down, you know, person that's anxious. Mm-hmm. Grandma was always so anxious, and then mm-hmm. it just keeps traveling. It's something that mm-hmm. is an old sin nature, a result of the old sin nature passed on. Into the genetics, and the enemy knows about those things. So what needs to happen is just to be a receiver of God's mind. Is when I receive God's thinking and I am born again, I have the Word of God, I'm able to I recognize in my life certain areas that I have to be very careful about, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't just trace them to me, but I can see them from generation to generation. And not that we're going to start going into genetic heritage and studying the whole thing. I don't mean that. But we have an old sin nature from Adam, okay? And then there are particulars about that old sin nature. Look at Paul's old sin nature when he was Saul. It was murderous. It was hyper-religious, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was. And so this took place, and only the life of Jesus Christ coming in and making a home in him could change that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But certainly he still had to be aware of certain tendencies that could be in his old sin nature. And that, I think, mm-hmm. is so important, understanding that. Not that we study it, but we recognize that what God has delivered me from, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And not to go
mm-hmm.
back and play around in those areas again. Say somebody was a gambler, and they were always making bets, and then they got saved, and they got delivered from gambling. But, oh, the lottery is legal. What's wrong with mm-hmm. buying lottery tickets? Oh, it's just another form of gambling, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So, you know, mm-hmm. the enemy will keep coming with his sophistication to get people to somehow live in those same genetical patterns and not even recognize it at all, not recognizing mm-hmm. it at all. So when God comes in and God's thinking comes in, it's not just when I'm born again by the Holy Spirit. That's where it begins. That's the foundation. But I need to have God's mind. I need to have God's pattern of thinking in every area of my life. So that will keep the enemy out. When we have given a place to Christ, as we said in John 8, 31, 32, 33, 34, then there's no place for the devil. Okay? We've given a place to God's life, his character, his mind, his will, his purpose, his power, his authority, his finished work victory.
So I have shared with people in my family about this thread of, you know, of going through our family, because it is, like you said, Pastor Shabelli, it just keeps coming down. And, excuse me. Sorry about that. So some of them have gotten saved, but not gone beyond the sinner's prayer. So they don't have the teaching or the, you know, the word of God in their lives and the fellowship of the body and all that to bring this all about and to deliver and help them. But the white witchcraft thing, I don't think any of them are, you know, these people are experiencing that or practicing that. But
well, let me ask a question. Let me ask a question. Saying a prayer doesn't save anybody, okay? It is a decision of the will. You know that, okay?
Yes, I do.
Like I can pray, but if my will, if there's no decision there, there's a lot of people out there that think they're a Christian because they said a prayer or they went to church. But I think, is there any change in a person's life? Okay, is there any fruit, spiritual fruit? If I said a prayer and I continue to do the very things that I've been doing, and I don't think anything of it, you know, and I engage in things. By their fruits you shall know them. Okay, this is so important. Spiritual fruit, Galatians 5:22-23. If I got saved, wouldn't there be a desire to read the Bible?
Yes.
If I got saved, wouldn't I want to be around Christians? If I got saved, wouldn't I want to pray to the one who saved me? See, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's up to God. It can be absolutely right that somebody is, but then who really knows except for God himself? I can only know by their fruits you shall know them.
Susan, also too, obviously someone in your generation somewhere let witchcraft into the family line, entertained it. Those things, those two, oil and water, are one of the two of the four natural elements that witches use to put together to cast spells. So someone's obviously cast a spell. That's what they were describing. And the reason why it had to be Christmas Eve is because most of the time the covenant meetings are on a holiday. And usually there's blood involved, that kind of thing. But understand this. Somebody introduced that in. This doesn't just force its way. And someone introduced that in. And that's how it got involved. But like Pastor Billy said, it doesn't have to be that way. When you make a decision for God, God, the curse is broken. It's broken.
Okay.
Everyone in your family who is saved has been exposed to the curse, but they have victory over the curse through the blood of Jesus Christ. The deliverance is through Christ. It's not through their effort to not be fearful. If that has been introduced into the family on the natural level, it's there. For instance, in Jacob and Abraham's lineage, lying was there. His relationship with faith did not remove that. It removed the power that it had. But its presence was still there. That's why you still have that presence. And the fact of the matter that those two relatives were talking to you about it, on some level they were heavily involved. That kind of information they shared with you is not common knowledge. So you were in a room with some folks that were actually entertaining witchcraft. So obviously, if you're in a room with them entertaining witchcraft, you're in an atmosphere of witchcraft.
Jesus said... your mother and your brothers are outside. They want to see you. He says, my mother and my brother are those who do the will of God and keep it. You know, I had to stay totally away from my family because of the influences. And there was a point maybe 20 years later when I could come back and I could spend a little time, like on a holiday or go and say hello or give them the gospel. But you know what? God's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Yes.
And so, you know, and we have this propensity and we love our family. We love people. And of course, we love our genetical family. But you know what? If they're not doing the things of God, I am not going to be around them. That's just how it is.
And that was the only time, that was the one time I ever heard about it or they ever talked about it or brought it up again. But I'm just saying that, you know, I was in shock. And normally, so were my parents.
Susan, normally they're not very public about it in the family. It's things they talk about. That's why with the specificity that they gave you, They didn't just fall out of bed and just throw that at you. That's been talked about and planned, very thorough. But like he said, you have victory through the blood, through the cross, in doctrine, as you walk with God.
Yes.
And God takes care of that. And God, and you have missionaries in your family from God that can turn the direction of your family one believer at a time. You can change the destiny and the direction and frustrate the curse of witchcraft in your family.
And I'll be up in Marlboro next Friday.
Yeah?
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Oh, great.
I think it's the fourth. Is it? What is it? Whatever Friday is, the 13th. It's Friday the 13th.
All righty.
14th and 15th.
We're going to run away from that. Thank you, Susan, for the call.
God bless.
Thank you for your answers and your help and your love and everything you do.
Amen. God bless you.
And for the cause.
Okay, Marlboro. Bye.
Let's take Pastor Dario and Yusuf in Morocco.
Wow. Is this Anik?
Yeah, hello.
She's our great translator. This is a call from people that are with Greater Grace Church in Morocco, and they have a church that is, I don't know how old, maybe like we went to Morocco many years ago, remember?
We did.
With your big Bible?
2001,
but the church began many years later, and so they have a great work in Morocco in the midst of a country that is like of a certain specific religion. And by the way, I wanted to say this. We'll take your call. We're listening to you. But Jesus said to religious people, your father is the devil. Mm-hmm. He never said that to a person that had a problem with drinking or was living in a specific sin, even though it was horrible. But he said to the religious people, your father is the devil, and the lust or the mindset of your father you will do.
Wow.
Okay, so that is very interesting because people, when they think about the enemy, they're always thinking about crime, drugs, alcohol, all these other things.
Yes.
And they just totally neglect religion.
Wow.
And so go ahead. Is Pastor Dario there? And is Yusuf there? Yes. And Anik, are you all there?
Yes, yes.
Everybody's there. Yusuf, Pastor Dario, Fatima, Ibrahim, Sarah.
Wow.
And we are listening to you.
Yeah. Abraham is there too.
Beautiful.
Yes, Ibrahim is here. Yeah.
That's
welcome,
great.
Welcome to the Grace Hour.
Yes, thank you so much.
Can you tell us anything about Morocco and what's going on there?
Okay. I speak in French. I need translation.
I can't hear.
It's better. Le Maroc est, et c'est vraiment le Sorry. Le Maroc est vraiment une belle illustration du combat spirituel.
Morocco, it's really a picture of the warfare.
Avec un esprit religieux.
With a very strong religious spirit.
A very religious spirit, yes.
A thought with works, the man works.
Une emprise sur eux. Et le diable, on peut voir combien le diable utilise la religion.
We can see how much the devil used the religion here.
La religion n'est pas un problème pour le diable.
The religion is not a problem for evil.
Nous savons que tant que le sang de Christ, l'œuvre du calvaire n'est pas présente, il y a pas de problème pour le diable.
If the blood of Jesus is not present, there's no problem for the devil.
Yes.
Et la religion est certainement l'un des meilleurs outils pour le diable.
And for the devil, the religion is the best
weapon.
Tool.
Yes.
Yes.
On parle du jeûne.
So they speak a lot about fasting.
C'est certainement le pays du jeûne.
It's the country of the fasting.
C'est le pays de la prière.
It's the country of the prayer.
Voilà, donc le Maroc, ce sont les évangiles ici. Ce sont les actes.
So we have the feeling to leave the acts. Yeah.
I see.
Et donc, effectivement, on est appelé à connaître notre Seigneur.
We are called to have the knowledge of the Lord,
Our
God.
parce que c'est le seul moyen d'avoir du discernement spirituel.
Because it's the only way to have discernment, to understand.
La parole de Dieu.
The word of God.
Le Saint-Esprit.
The Holy Spirit.
La prière.
The prayer.
La communion.
The fellowship.
Le corps de Christ.
The body life.
Sans ces choses, il est impossible de pouvoir.
Without that, it's impossible.
De vivre la vie spirituelle normale.
To live the normal spiritual life.
Et le combat spirituel non plus.
And the warfare, of course. Yes.
Amen. Donc, we don't have much time, about a minute or so. So, we're really thankful that you called and that you are there as amazing servants of God. I call them soldiers in the army of Jesus Christ, and you're in Morocco, and you're seeing God move. People are getting converted, and certainly there's opposition. But I love this. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And that's Jesus Christ. Greater is he that's in us than he, the enemy, who's in the world. And because of that, we go forward knowing we have absolute victory.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Take care. God bless. Thanks for calling the Grace Hour. Bernice.
God bless you. Bye.
Bernice, we're not going to be able to get your call today, but I would love to hear from you next week on Monday. Please call in next week with that question, Bernice, okay? Thank you so much for joining us on the Grace Hour this afternoon. We look forward to seeing you if you're able to make it Sunday morning at 6025 Moravia Park Drive for our Sunday morning services. 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 6:30 p.m. Come on out to church. We'd love to meet you. Great parking, great church, great people with a great Bible. God bless you, and we'll see you next week on the Grace Hour.
And Bible school starts soon.
And Bible school starts January 16th.
Wow.
Love to see you in Bible school, too. Take care.
Hallelujah.
God bless.